The Tennessee House is gearing up to potentially pass legislation that will put child rapists to death. Wendy Mahoney joins us with the latest. The United States isn't the only country locking up its political opposition these days. In Brazil, the Supreme Court is so corrupt that it's locking up members of the Bolsonaro administration. Felipe Martins is one of those right now sitting in jail, and his attorney joins us to discuss. Today was day two of jury selection for President Donald Trump in Manhattan. There was endless corruption, of course, being exposed. Clay Clark joins us. All that and more on The Brianna Morello Show. Happy Tuesday, everyone. It's been a chaotic day so far. So much is playing out right now in court all across the country. And well, we can't ignore it. We have to talk about it. So if you're looking to catch up on all of the latest news taking place right now, you got to head over to citizenfreepress.com. That's where I go every single morning to start off my day. And well, there's so much happening in these headlines. It's great that Kane and all of his CFP coworkers are all, you know, hacking away and giving us all the latest. So we got to jump into this because there's so much going on right now. First thing up that we got to talk about, this is the one we've been waiting for, folks. The Supreme Court finally heard the opening oral arguments regarding J6ers. Now, many of you know the Department of Injustice has been persecuting J6ers, and it's been egregious, the behavior that they've been performing lately. Because, well, I mean, honestly, it's like they've been stacking these charges up against all of these J6ers who were showing up to protest. Some of them maybe might have done an unauthorized tour of the U.S. Capitol, but they're all, again, which this case is highlighting, nonviolent folks who should not have been charged with such crimes. And those crimes are obviously the obstruction of an official proceeding. Now, it's interesting enough because that really hasn't been played out in courts, and that's the reason why it's made its way up to the Supreme Court because, well, nobody understands why the DOJ is slapping those charges onto so many of these J6ers. Now, just to keep in mind, folks, that charge alone, if you're convicted, you could actually face up to 20 years in prison. And they're saying it's because, well, these J6ers interrupted a court Congress proceedings regarding the election of 2020. So it's all just disgusting to see, but we're happy that the Supreme Court is listening to these opening arguments. And they actually, if you listened in a little bit, I dipped in, dipped out because it was a very busy day for me. But if you listened in, they were actually very open to the idea of ruling on this and kind of pushing this DOJ, who's just been so corrupt, pushing them back into their place because, well, these charges are an absolute disgrace. Again, they were also asking, I think this is the key point to all of this. These justices wanted to know, why are you slapping these charges on to these J6ers? Because ultimately, what qualifies as, you know, this obstruction? Would it be, and this is another quote from today's hearing, would it be a sit-in that disrupts a trial or access to a federal courthouse qualify for this? And the DOJ, again, was just kind of conducting, is how I would say it, legal gymnastics around these simple questions. But I'm excited because it seems like all of these justices were opened to kind of pushing back on the DOJ. Matthew Graves' office has been disgusting with its prosecution of January 6ers. We talked about on the show, they said that even if SCOTUS overthrows what they're charging these folks with, and again, this case would affect hundreds of cases, including President Donald J. Trump's case, that ultimately the Matthew Graves, the U.S. attorney, would actually go and seek that their other charges, all of their sentences in those charges, be upgraded to sentences. They're going to, I guess, appeal it and ask for their sentences to be reevaluated and it's going to go after them and try to get harsher sentences just because they're upset that the Supreme Court has overthrown that. So it would be interesting to see because I think that will be the breaking point for so many moderates who just think that it's okay, you know, they're manipulating the law now. Now they are really going after these people. I mean, the left pretends to advocate for criminal justice reform or just, you know, not charging everyone with crimes and sending everyone away to prison. But then again, we have this J6 situation that's going on right now. And they suddenly lose that desire to stick up for what they assume are their rights. And so we'll see that all play out. Now I want to jump back over to Citizen Free Press because, well, today, Speaker Mike Johnson, who we'll talk about in just a moment, he walked over to the Senate the historic impeachment articles against Alejandro Mayorkas. Many of you know that is one of the I would say, the face of the individual who is leading the invasion into our country right now. As many of you know, he is the head of HSS. And well, he is the reason why we are having such a disaster right now at our border. But again, he's just the face of the problem. He's not the core of the issue. And so I just think this is a Band-Aid when we talk about impeaching him, because, well, there's going to be somebody else going to pop up right after him. You're probably not going to like that person either. So again, folks, Speaker Johnson having these articles of impeachment walked over to the Senate, likely that we won't see this play out anytime soon because, well, Chuck Schumer is obviously the majority leader over there. But it's interesting because Congressman Thomas Massie today came out and publicly spoke about Speaker Johnson, saying that he wants him to resign. And we have to actually back that because I, too, want him to resign. But then again, we have a thinning majority right now in the House, and playing these cards of do we toss Speaker Johnson, replace him with somebody else, really plays into the hands of Democrats. Democrats could potentially push in one of their own. They only need a couple of Republicans to be fed up and vote with Democrats. I don't know if any of them would. There's plenty of them, especially in New York, who are from moderate districts, and so they might be interested in making the flip. So it is extremely dangerous. We'll see how that plays out. And I wanted to go and wrap it up with something that happened yesterday. Many of you guys might have saw this, but the Rusty Armor, the woman who was charged in that case regarding the gun that, according to non-legal experts, the gun just went off. And sadly, it took the life of this beautiful woman. They just sentenced the woman, the armor, to 18 months in prison. Now, I was listening yesterday as the judge was sentencing her, and the judge pretty much was going after her and saying, you did not show remorse. She did not accept blame for anything. She was pretty much saying that the media has made her out to be a horrible person. And she, I would say, showed more empathy for herself than that poor woman who lost her life. And so I think just based on that, the judge smacked her with the 18-month sentence, which I'm told is the actual maximum. So interesting enough. Now, Alec Baldwin, I know a lot of you are outraged, but Alec Baldwin is actually set to face that judge too in his manslaughter trial. That should take place shortly. And it's going to be interesting seeing how that plays out because, well, I mean, Alec Baldwin obviously has privilege. And when I'm talking about privilege, I'm talking about celebrity privilege, the elites. So we'll see if that goes all the way. Well, no, momentarily. But again, that armor over there, she was just sitting there blaming. She was blaming everybody else but herself. And any lawyer will tell you that you should not be doing that when you're pleading for mercy. So that's everything that's going on right now around the country. I'd recommend whatever we missed, because there's a lot, as you can see on CFP's website right now. Head over to citizenfreepress.com and you can see the latest up there right now. We'll be right back with tons and tons of content coming your way. Let our audience in on a little secret. I'm saving hundreds of dollars each year after switching over both of my lines to Patriot Mobile. Yes, so now my business and personal line are with Patriot Mobile. Now, Patriot Mobile uses the same towers that you're probably already using now, except it's less expensive. So my 5G towers that I love to use my old provider, I'm still using them now. I'm just paying significantly less money to do so. And on top of it all, Patriot Mobile believes in the same things you and I believe in. They have the same morals. So they donate to causes that are like pro-life causes, veteran causes, and even the NRA. It's incredible. So I highly recommend you head over to patriotmobile.com right now, take a look at their plans, and sign up. And today, if you sign up and use promo code Brianna, they're going to waive the activation fee. Yes, you heard it right. They're going to waive the activation fee. So make sure you use promo code Brianna, B-R-E-A-N-N-A.
We got some news from inside the courtroom. Apparently, the district attorney's office has filed a written motion. So they have made it official to try and hold Donald Trump in contempt for violating the gag order that was put onto him by the judge. Well, I guess there were three allegations that the state made yesterday. Mm-hmm. And if the allegations hold up, Trump would be fined $1,000 for each violation.
That's right.
No surprise here, of course. The corrupt Manhattan district attorney wants Trump to be silenced, of course. He can't speak up in his own defense. He just has to manage and deal with the fact that he's being railroaded right now in a New York City courtroom. Now, this is day two of jury selection. Well, it's going all right, I guess you could say. The judge is obviously extremely biased. We already know that. And, well, there's not really much of a pool of juries to pull from when you got probably one of the most liberal cities in the country. So let's bring in somebody who's been following all of this. Clay Clark joins me now. Clay is the host of Thrive Time Show podcast, and he's also an author as well. Clay, I know you've been following all of this and we've been watching this all play out. We know the judge is corrupt. We also know that the DA is playing kind of like illegal gymnastics with trying to manipulate the laws in New York so that he can prosecute the former president. So what's your takeaway of what we've seen so far?
Well, I believe that if you read Mark chapter 13, Matthew chapter 24, or Luke chapter 21 from the Bible, it speaks of this in the latter times. Mark chapter 13, Luke chapter 21, Matthew chapter 24. And when I say it speaks of this specifically, it talks about the idea that you're going to be, if you're a Christian or you're somebody who is of faith for your good faith with God's laws, and if you're someone who wants to stand up for God's laws, you're going to be pulled in front of judges, and you're going to be tried to be accused of crimes and ultimately convicted of crimes for standing up for your faith. And I believe we're watching it happen.
Yeah, I think it's disgusting what we're seeing play out because, again, they slap these gag orders on the former president. He can't speak out in his own defense. He has to just tolerate what they're doing. And I think that's the really disturbing part in all of this. What's your takeaway from the Manhattan DA kind of pushing back and trying to get the judge to implement the gag order penalties for him just simply trying to speak out and defend himself publicly?
Well, you know, Brianna, I mean, it's unfortunate, but the way this mindset works is this is Isaiah chapter 5, verse 20. I know a lot of your listeners didn't tune in for a Bible study today, but again, in Isaiah chapter 5, verse 20, it says, "Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, and who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter." So let me just give an example. As an entrepreneur, you know, Proverbs 10:4 says, "God blesses the hand of the diligent and punishes the hand of the slackard." Well, our current system punishes the diligent and rewards the slackers. So let me give an example. You faithfully and diligently put out this great broadcast, and that's what you do, right? So you're putting out the show, and that's wonderful. And as you continue to grow followers and advertisers and so many great things like that, hopefully that you'll be rewarded for that because you're diligent. You take your show seriously. However, there are people out there today that have found a way to make a pretty comfortable living by doing absolutely nothing. And so, you know, if we separate this conversation from your show, you think about contractors, dentists, doctors, lawyers, the more they make, the more the government takes because it's a perversion of God's laws. It's supposed to be that God rewards the hand of the diligent and punishes the slackard. In this case, with President Trump, you're seeing a man being persecuted for righteousness' sake. So Matthew 5:10-11 says, "Blessed are ye who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for ye shall inherit the kingdom of heaven." Now, I don't know President Trump very well. I've met him on multiple occasions. But I can tell you, I know Eric Trump very well, and Eric Trump is very proud of his father. He absolutely is unapologetically proud of his father. And it's very sad to see President Donald J. Trump be told that he can't attend his own son's graduation due to this ridiculous persecution.
Yeah, I think that's got a lot of Americans upset. Because the fact that he can't attend his own son's high school graduation is absurd in itself. But I think people who are just kind of down the middle and didn't understand what was going on, I think that speaks volumes to them. Because most of us, we love and cherish our family. And those are key moments in our lives and milestones that we all want to celebrate. And the fact that the judge is sitting there and slamming his fist down saying, "You can't go to your son's graduation," it is absurd in itself because they're trying their hardest to push this trial through before the election. And they're trying their best because they want to see him behind bars and not on the campaign trail, which is absurd in itself. But then there was also this other side of it. And the president spoke out yesterday about the judge specifically saying that he won't even allow him to go to the SCOTUS hearing that was taking place today in court. Let's take a listen.
Thursday, we're before the United States Supreme Court at a very big hearing on immunity. And this is something that we've been waiting for a long time. And the judge, of course, is not going to allow us. He's a very conflicted judge. And he's not going to allow us to go to that. He won't allow me to leave here for a half a day, go to D.C. and go before the United States Supreme Court because he thinks he's superior, I guess, to the Supreme Court. And we got a real problem with this judge. We have a real problem with a lot of things having to do with this trial, including the D.A., because you go right outside and people are being mugged and killed all day long, and he's sitting here all day with about 10 or 12 prosecutors over nothing.
this judge seems to think he's above the Supreme Court. Clay, most Americans are watching this and they're getting really discouraged in our criminal justice system, as well as just our checks and balances in this country right now. What words of wisdom and encouragement would you have for everyone watching right now who just continues to feel like they're letting us all down? Because, I mean, Clay, it's very depressing to watch.
Well, okay, let me just give you an example. Before I met you, I did a show, which I'm sure people can still find, but I was explaining to people, this is before the lockdowns, okay? I did a show and I explained to people very succinctly on the Thrive Time Show podcast. I let people know, you know, the models that said 2.2 million people would die from COVID, those models were false. The PCR tests, those polymerase chain reaction tests, turns out those could be falsely calibrated to inflate cases. Turns out COVID was treatable. Using, at that time, we knew hydroxychloroquine. Turns out the system and method for testing for COVID-19 was, in fact, patented in 2015. And turns out it's all part of this Great Reset agenda. So the reward that I got, Matthew 5:10-11, says, blessed are ye who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for ye shall inherit the kingdom of heaven. The reward that I got is I got removed from LinkedIn. This is pre-lockdowns. So I got removed from LinkedIn, and people were going, dude, what happened to your LinkedIn? Remember that? We have LinkedIn. This is before strikes, before warnings, just boom, gone. YouTube, thousands of videos, just gone. Boom. So, and I get this thing called a strike from iTunes and Spotify. No one at that point was talking about strikes on iTunes or Spotify. And I wrote this book called Fear Unmasked, which you can now find on Amazon. And I wrote the book, and to my knowledge, according to my publicist who was helping me at the time, this woman represented Tim Tebow. She still does, Esther Federkevich. She's a literary agent, very respected. She said, I think your book may be the first book in American history banned from Amazon. So you could still buy Mein Kampf, and my book was banned. You could still buy Adolf Hitler's Mein Kampf, and my book was banned. I mean, you could still buy satanic books on how to do spells and all sorts of satanic psychosexual books. But you know what you couldn't do? You couldn't buy my book. And that is because Matthew chapter 24, Mark chapter 13, and Luke chapter 21 told us that this would happen. We would come to a time where you'd have wars, rumors of wars, famines, pestilences, neighbor rising against neighbor. And because iniquity or lack of following God's laws shall abound, you're going to have people betraying one another. And that's so as you're seeing this happen, the encouragement that I have is that God, aka Jesus, was very accurate in prophesying these events, and they are all happening, which should be confirming to your faith, but it's also disturbing if you don't have a rock solid faith in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and his return. So I would encourage everybody tonight, read Mark chapter 13, read Matthew chapter 24, read Luke chapter 21, and then I'd also recommend you read 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, because that tells you how it all ends. Now, even more current events, which again, current events have to catch up to the Bible, but Revelation chapter 16, verse 12 through 14, the Bible states that when the Euphrates River dries up, and it is, that China and Russia shall team up, and they are, and that the false prophet shall show up, and he is, and that the beast technology will show up, and it is. So all of those things are happening right now, and that's Revelation chapter 16, verse 12 through 14. Now, I consider myself to be pretty accurate, but I am not a prophet or a son of a prophet, much like Amos in the Bible, but I'm just trying to share the facts. And I told people 3-4 years ago, I said, this is where we're headed. So I'm not shocked that this is happening. And so you get back to, you know, what can we do? I think we all need to wake up today and say, how can God use our time, treasure, and talents to save this nation? So I look at your great show, and every day you faithfully put in the research, you share the truth, and God's given you a platform and a desire to do that, and you do it well. Somebody else watching right now, though, you're a teacher, you're a doctor, you're a lawyer, you're a dentist, you're currently unemployed, looking for opportunities, you're single, you're married, you're a mom, you're a dad. God wants to use everybody's time, treasure, and talents right now to lead people back to Christ. So everybody out there watching today, one, we need to get back to Christ. And how do you do that? Read the Bible, get in God's word. Second thing is I would recommend you come to events. Now, Brianna, my events aren't the only events, but the Reawaken America Tour, June 7th and 8th, is in Detroit, Michigan. That's the final confirmed event. And people always ask, you know, why? How do you get Eric Trump and Laura Trump and Peter Navarro and General Flynn and Kash Patel and Alina Haba? How do you get them all to an event with Amanda Grace and Julie Green and Pastor Dave Scarlett? It's because our events, we let people name their price. And I think a lot of people out there have been beaten up financially because of the lockdowns, the quarantines, and the Great Reset. And they really do appreciate a hand up. So again, you can attend the Reawaken America Tour, Detroit, Michigan. We have just under 500 tickets. And then finally, Brianna, my final big call to action. It's very big, and I brought my own little prop for this. I encourage everybody. I just was emailing with Peter Navarro moments ago. Aww. He's in prison right now. Yeah. So Peter Navarro, my good friend Peter Navarro, is in prison right now. I literally just exchanged emails with him moments ago. And wonderful guy. Wonderful man. This is the guy who was the author of the Trump economy. This is Trump's chief economic advisor, Peter Navarro. He's 74 years old, and he fixed the economy in three great ways. One, he pushed for deregulation, tough negotiation with China. And he also pushed this idea. I know it's crazy. It's interesting. Lower taxation. Lower taxation, tough negotiation with China, and deregulation. And he's the first guy in the White House to call out Fauci. And because of that, he's in prison right now because he refuses to testify and or provide his phone records, emails, and various other communications. He basically was in the White House under Trump, and he's not going to turn over his private conversations and emails that he had with Trump and phone calls and interactions with Trump while he's in the White House. He's not going to do that because he doesn't want to compromise the national security. So he's in prison right now for 4 months. And he called me on December 23rd. Great guy. Doesn't get speeding tickets. I mean, just a sharp guy. One wonderful man. Treats women right. Treats men right. He's a handshake deal maker kind of guy. Great guy. He's in prison. He calls me December 23rd and he says, "Hey, I need to raise about $1 million additional dollars to pay for my legal bills. Can you help me?" And I said, "As God is my witness, I shall do it." So everybody out there, go to givesendgo.com/Navarro. And to brag on your wonderful listeners, as of right now, everybody out there who's been listening to the Reawaken Tour and other great events has chipped in $1,344,000. So far we've raised $1.344 million off of 23,000 donations. So if you don't know what to do, just go to givesendgo.com/Navarro and donate anything. And you text me proof of donation and you have a chance to win a backstage pass. That's my number right there. 918-851-0102. 918-851-0102.
I love that. Clay, I love that because that is your number and you don't mind getting in touch with people. You're very welcoming and this is great. Peter Navarro too, by the way. So we actually posted his address. So if our viewers wanted to go mail him to send him something in the mail, they can. And I think we might've flooded the jail with so many letters because the clip alone got over 500,000 views on Twitter, the tweet itself, that they are sending some of them back to our viewers. So, we just got a call earlier today. I got a call earlier today from my good friend over at Citizen Free Press, and he's saying that a couple of the viewers are saying that they got their letters back in the mail saying that there was nobody there at the prison, but we know there is. It's happened before with J6ers. It's nothing to be discouraged about. They just don't want to give them all the mail, and so they usually send it back to discourage them from continuing to write. So it happens all the time. But I'm glad to hear that you were speaking with Mr. Navarro. He is an incredible person. Some of the best Trump policies coming from that man. And it's amazing that he has just, you know, kept his spirit up and he is not backing down. Some people back down from these fights and it's incredible to see that he is not. Again, folks, Clay also mentioned the Reawaken Tour. You guys can head over right now to the thrivetimeshow.com and then you'll see up in the upper tab is the Reawaken Tour. The schedule's there and that's where you guys could also grab tickets there in Detroit. We'll be there as well, Clay. So we're excited for that. Clay Clark, always good to speak with you. I appreciate you jumping on with us today.
Hey, thank you so much. And again, I appreciate everything about you, your show, your audience, your attention to detail. Thank you so much, Brianna. I can't wait to see you soon.
Thank you, Clay. We're very excited to have you on. We appreciate everything that you do.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Well, we're not just dealing with corrupt courts in the United States. In Brazil, they have the Supreme Court, which is just equally as corrupt, maybe even actually worse than what we're dealing with right now. And well, the Brazil Supreme Court is targeting their political opposition. Now, former president of Brazil, Bolsonaro, is currently having members of his administration targeted. And Felipe Martins is one of the others who has been locked away right now and is sitting in jail. Now, Martins is accused of potentially looking to overthrow the replacing administration. But, well, the Supreme Court has no evidence and they have not charged Mr. Martins. But instead, they have him sitting right now in jail. And he's been there for over 2 months. Now, like I mentioned, they don't really have anything that proves it. They're just holding him while they're pending an investigation. But there's an interesting way as to why they're all getting away with this. Now, right now, Mr. Martins is being accused, like I mentioned, of trying to overthrow the new regime. But again, he denies that and they don't have any evidence of that. But ultimately, they're accusing him of potentially fleeing. And that's the reason why they want to hold him before they charge him. I mean, it's an absurd amount of circumstances going on right now in Brazil, but they're saying that he's a flight risk and that they need to hold him in jail because, well, they're claiming he visited the United States back in December of 2022. Now, we know that's not true because, well, we have our own government's proof of just that. Martins was not in the United States back in December 2002. And we know that because we have this email from Border Patrol specifically saying that he was not there, that actually the last time he was in the U.S. was when he was here at a U.N. event when he was working with Bolsonaro. So why is the Supreme Court looking to hold him? Well, it's an interesting story, and his lawyer joins us right now. Please welcome Anna Schaefert. Thank you for joining us. We really appreciate your time. I know you're busy because this is a big case for you to take on. So thank you for joining us.
Thank you, Brianna. Thank you for the opportunity for being here and bringing the details on Felipe's case, which I understand that will be very important for everyone to acknowledge of the how deep the actions of the Supreme Court of Brazil can go.
Yeah. I think it's very important. And right now your client is sitting, right now he's sitting in jail and he's awaiting, not even charged with the crime. They don't really have any evidence of anything, but they're alleging that he was behind a coup attempt. They're not showing anything. They're alleging that he's a flight risk. And that's the reason why they're holding him right now in jail. So I just wanted to start off by asking, how is Mr. Martins doing right now?
I mean, it's hard to say that he's doing okay, right? In jail, he's with a lot of criminals that have actually been convicted. And in case of Mr. Martins, as you point out precisely, he was never charged with a crime. And to clarify further, it's possible to put someone in jail before a trial? However, we have to have some evidence of a crime and authorship. And in this case, we have no evidence of none of them. So, but I was just going to mention a little further. What's the prison has been declared under the explanation that his location was uncertain due to the fact that for some reason, CBP website shows that he entered the U.S. in December 30th. But I want to explain some differences for you between what's a travel history and what is an I-94. The travel history is some information that's found in the CBP website, which can come from a different types of source. In fact, CBP website disclaims that the information cannot be used for legal purposes. And there was a moment which Felipe Martins was on the passenger list that left on a flight in Brazil on December 30th with the former President Bolsonaro. But his name was no longer in that list on the last versions of the list. So the prison was declared based on the version 10 of the list, which went all the way to the version 15. And this travel history found on the CBP website, which specifically claims that the information cannot be used for legal purposes. So what did we do? We went straight to the CBP to find what's called Form I-94. And for those who are watching me and don't know what an I-94 is, this is a form that confirms someone's entrance in the United States. It's issued by the Customer Border Patrol in the moment of the entrance of a non-immigrant in the U.S. And as you mentioned, they confirmed to us that there is none for this trip. So as of now, there's nothing that legally could hold Mr. Felipe Martins in jail.
Yeah, and I think that's interesting, right? Because ultimately, it's our government telling Brazil that he wasn't here. Is the courts even looking at this piece of evidence, this email specifically, that says that he wasn't actually in the United States at that time?
Oh, the, myself and our my partners in Brazil that are working with the Felipe Martins defense. I'm working with, along with Mr. Ricardo, as well as Mr. Sebastião. We already put that evidence on file, but this has not been appreciated by the. I mean, has not been revealed by Alexandre de Moraes yet.
Got it. Okay. I wanted to move on to, I wanted to just ask specifically, I mean, here in the United States, we don't hold people in jail if they haven't been charged with the crime, but it's strange for us to see that in other countries, they do just that. Is this a normal circumstance? Does Brazil often hold people who are being investigated in jail for crimes they haven't charged them with yet?
Definitely not in normal circumstances. There is nothing that can legally hold Mr. Felipe Martins in jail as of now. The prison, what's called preventive prison, meaning those this detention that occurs prior to a conviction, can occur if there is a risk of escape. Not the case. He was arrested in his home, the address that everyone had, I mean, the police had. So there's no evidence of trying to escape. Also, when there is evidence of that he might harm the evidence of potential crime, nothing is present in Felipe's case here.
Yeah, I think it's interesting that they're able to do all of this. You know, I have to say, we all know, we're very well aware about the Supreme Court and their attempts to go after the former president, Bolsonaro. Do you think that they are locking up your client to potentially get him involved in a potential prosecution of the former president? Because we've seen that play out here in the United States. So is there any type of, maybe this might be used to intimidate your client?
Yes, and I have more information on that. So essentially, what's being done right now is trying to, in fact, he was brought into court to say what's called to plead guilty in exchange of some less penalty in criminal court. But as he said, I don't have nothing to report. What they are trying to do is to make him confirm facts and evidence that there is non-existent. And this has happened also with Seed. Not sure if you're familiar with this case, but this is another advisor from Bolsonaro, which is also experiencing a similar situation as Felipe, being in jail and also being type to force to confirm a story, but that has not occurred. So they're trying to intimidate, trying to make them confirm a culpa, which has not occurred. They try attempt to culpa that has not occurred. That's unfortunately what's happening.
Yeah, it's disgraceful because, like I mentioned, we see this here in the United States. It's their new tactics where they want to go, when they want to get to the top person, they're going to go after and persecute those closest to them, even if they don't have a case, which is heartbreaking in itself. And, you know, Mr. Martins is somebody right now who's sitting in jail, even though he shouldn't be there. And he's been there for over 2 months now. And so I'm sure that's weighing on him as well. I think it's interesting that they have decided to push forward and go after him. But you are also, like I mentioned in our open, you are also, you're from Brazil. You're an American citizen, though. You live in the U.S. You are an attorney practicing both Brazil and America. But are you afraid? Because I think, you know, for those of you who aren't familiar at home listening right now, Brazil has gone after judges who push back and other officials who do push back against what they're looking to do, their ultimate goal. So you, as a defense attorney right now, are you afraid that they might potentially come after you and try to prosecute you for charges that are cooked up and false?
Brianna, me, myself, Anna, not really, to be very honest with you, just because I'm living in the United States. I'm an American citizen, as you point out. I'm in a jurisdiction that, till now, does respect my profession. But I cannot say the same for my colleagues. So, for example, Ricardo, which is my colleague that's also covering Felipe's defense, it's actually the attorney in covering the Brazilian side of it. His phone, he made a test, and his phone is currently under... could you please help me with the name in English? But when someone it's it's being intercepted. The calls are being currently being intercepted. So it's very hard when you have
like tap your wire.
That's exactly it. So his phone is currently under this, and there are a lot of attempts to intimidate the lawyers. As a matter of fact, in February this year, there was a very uncomfortable situation between OAB, which is equivalent to the Brazilian Bar Association, and Alexandre de Moraes, because as Alexandre de Moraes is judging the cases of January 8th, which is Brazilian version of the January 6th, often here, there was an initial prohibition by Alexandre de Moraes that the attorneys of those defendants would communicate between themselves, which is an attempt to limit the exercise of the profession. So that happened. In fact, the Brazilian Bar Association ended up sending a letter to Alexandre de Moraes to clarify himself on that. He tried to make it look like that was not the case, but it's clear that this is exactly what he tried to do, to attempt to hold, to tie the hands of the attorneys of those defendants.
Yeah, we see that happen far too often, unfortunately, and we're seeing it play out in both Brazil and here in the United States, whether it's, you know, President Trump's attorneys were being prosecuted for defending him during his election fraud allegations and so many other situations too around the country. Anna, well, thank you for joining us. I mean, we're going to keep following this case. I think it's interesting, and I think that it mirrors what we're seeing here in the U.S., like I mentioned. But I also think our audience is deeply concerned because there's very few outlets, especially in Brazil, that could authentically cover cases like these without fear of their government going after them. And I think by us being here in the United States, we could offer the audience a little bit of perspective and a little bit more of free speech to speak freely on these issues and to kind of educate them on what's going on, because they're not going to get that with their current media that they have in Brazil right now. So Anna, thank you for joining us. We really appreciate your time, and please keep us posted on everything that your client has
will
to
do. Right, thank you very much for the opportunity, Brianna. And you did point out very well, there's not really an opportunity for being exposing that in local media. So actions like yours are very appreciated to bring awareness of this and maybe some international pressure to solve the situation of Felipe Martins, which unfortunately is not the only one that's being held as a political prosecutor.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Thank you so much.
My pleasure. Nice being here with you today. Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye.
And if you enjoyed that interview, make sure you head over right now to our Rumble, YouTube, or any of our podcasting platforms like Spotify and iTunes. And make sure you give us a follow and give us a like as well. We greatly appreciate it. And since we're a newer show, of course, we love hearing from you, the audience. So leave us your feedback in the comments as well. And if you're looking to support us because, well, we are an independent show, please head over to supportbree.com. That's where you can make a one-time donation, or you can become a monthly donor. So again, folks, it's supportbree.com. And you can donate any amount of money you'd like on that platform. We'll be right back after this. Well, the great state of Tennessee is finally taking the appropriate actions that I think every state should be following right now. And they're preparing to potentially pass legislation that puts sex offenders to death. And I think it's very, very important. Now, of course, we want to turn your attention to one of our great sources for all of this information, which is freedomforever.usa. Wendy Mahoney recently wrote this article, and it details how the Tennessee Senate has advanced a bill in April, which would make it, you know, a crime that's potentially suitable with the death penalty for hurting children. And I think this is important. Now, it's called HB 1663, and it's making its way into the House, of course. It would follow many other states, like here in the state of Florida. We now are able to sentence sex offenders to death, thankfully. But it's interesting given the fact, and we talked about it here on the show just yesterday, in California, it's completely different. Now, all other states are preparing to sentence these individuals to death, these monsters, these predators to death. States like California are arguing over stuff that's, I would say, common sense. The state of California today, hearing arguments that would, make harsher penalties for those, and they refer to it in this article, and they all do, as children purchased for sex, but ultimately it's children purchased for rape. Right now in the state of California, if you're caught doing just that, you're actually only sentenced to, at the max, 1 year in prison. They don't take it seriously, of course. And, well, it's because states like California and other Democrats don't really think it's a crime. They actually want to normalize all of this because, well, they refer to them as MAPS, as many of you have heard. And, well, we don't hear on the Brianna Morello show, of course. I have to, I guess, say that in third person. But we like to call them what they are, and that's rapists, monsters, animals, and predators. Joining me to discuss all of this is Wendy Mahoney. She is the woman behind that great article over at freedomforever.us. Wendy, thank you for joining us. I'm glad you brought this to our attention because, well, we want to celebrate it whenever a state is pushing forward legislation like this. So thank you for writing this piece. We greatly appreciate it.
Yes, I was happy to do it. As you know, I write for Freedom Forever, which is Landon Starbuck's organization. And while Freedom Forever cannot, support any specific legislation, Freedom Forever isn't an organization. They just put out that great film called The War on Children. Mm-hmm. And this is an organization that advocates for children in a variety of ways. And Landon believes that the penalties are not harsh enough for child rapists. And in fact, I would tend to agree, you know, in my opinion, I agree with her. I think that in many cases, the sentencing guidelines are not really followed. And there are variances offered and people get out early. And you may or may not know this, but, you know, predators, you know, sexual predators, the focus in the past decades has been on remediating these people. And remediation is exceedingly difficult. It's very difficult to accomplish. And it really is not really working. And so Freedom Forever is advocating for a nationwide push to at least have available the death penalties for child rapists. And at a minimum, lifetime sentence. But, you know, there have to be consequences for this behavior. You know, anybody who has studied human behavior understands that when you have no consequences for poor behavior, those behaviors continue. So that's why Freedom Forever is pushing this nationwide petition, getting people to, it wants to lead the nation and getting people to sign and get this legislation pushed into each state. I think only seven states, including Florida, have that option at this point.
Yeah. And you know, we celebrated here in the state of Florida when they did pass it, because I strongly believe this is common sense. There should be stiff penalties when you are somebody who's raping children. And I think that we give so many of these people a second chance to reoffend, and we're not considering the victims that we're creating in these situations. And I think that's why it's so important. You know, I come from the state of New York, and in New York, I actually picked up and left because back in 2019, New York Democrats considered it to be a nonviolent offense to have child pornography in your possession. And what that meant was, if you were somebody who was being prosecuted by the state and they found child pornography, you were given a bench ticket. You weren't put in front of a judge. They weren't sending you to jail. You were given a bench ticket to appear at your next court date. And they couldn't hold you in jail, regardless of how many times you've committed these offenses. And instead of considering what the victims of all of this are, the people who are, or the children who are being raped on film, they instead had more empathy for the actual person who had the material on them. And it was just so egregious that I had to pick up and leave. And so I'm glad that now I belong in a state where we take these crimes seriously. Now, I want to mention in Tennessee right now, maybe you might have some insight on this because you did a great story up right now. Right now in Tennessee, you can't sentence someone to capital punishment for non-homicidal crimes. So do you think that if they do pass this all the way and the governor signs this into law, do you think that this might have some things that it has to overcome legally? Will this be challenged and not brought into law as quickly as we'd like it to be?
Yeah, they're trying to take some of that language out to make it death sentence for raping a child, you know, that you don't, in other words, you don't have to murder the child to get that. So, and I do think there are some hurdles. You yourself in your state face some hurdles because of that 2008 decision by the Supreme Court. I think they said it was cruel and unusual punishment to put the death penalty to people, to child rapists. Look, the death penalty is something very difficult for a lot of people to digest as a punishment. Mm-hmm. The problem is that it's hard enough for child rape victims to come forward. Now, there's an argument. One of the Democrat senators argued that that they won't come forward because a lot of these offenders are family members. But that should not be a reason to not put this in place, stiffer penalties in place. The facts are that children are being raped by adults. Most of them are men. And I was reading through, just I wanted to show you, read through some statistics here. So about, 94% of the offenders are men. And then about 85% of statutory rape cases involve Native Americans. The penalties are often reduced. And I think the average, I can't remember what I said, but the average sentence is like 120 months or something like that. I mean, it's just a very, or was it, 221 months? But in any case, it's very difficult for these victims to come forward. And so the point is that Landon and Freedom Forever want to make sure that there's some strong deterrence to this behavior.
Yeah. And I think this is spot on. We need to do just that. It's disgusting what goes on. And you mentioned the Native American aspect of all of this. It's actually interesting because most people don't realize it. You know, Steve Friend, the FBI whistleblower, was actually somebody who was forced to investigate those sexual assaults quite often. And he's got a lot of background on it. And it's something we don't talk about often, but I think it's something that we need to, because any of that needs to be brought to the light. Yeah. And I think that's
I'm sure some of that has to do with drug abuse, alcohol abuse. You know, those often accompany these kinds of crimes. So,
yeah. And they're very hostile when the FBI comes investigating, back in the day when they actually investigated crimes like that. It's disturbing to see. You know, you mentioned too, as well, Gloria Johnson is the woman who you cited, who is saying that potentially these victims might not come forward if they, you know, if it's a family member who they fear might be put to death. I don't know if that will be a real issue, like how you kind of stated it. I don't think that they're going to fear it as much, because I think they have so much hate and rage for the person who's doing this to them. And I think that they will want justice. But I think it's interesting because it might make a lot of these people second guess it. I mean, constantly, and I'm sure you're familiar with predator poachers. Alex, the one who does confront these individuals, he constantly is going and meeting with people who are arranging sex with children, which again is rape, but I keep saying it like how the media wants to say it's rape. And when he confronts these individuals, they are somebody who has previously, a lot of cases, has previously committed these crimes before, and they're back onto the streets. So do you think that this alone, this piece of legislation, if it does pass, will have a lot of these predators second guessing whether they're going to offend in the first place?
I mean, I think the death penalty is a pretty serious message to people that you definitely don't want to cross the line. I mean, I do think it'll serve as a deterrent. But I can also see, I mean, having my background is in psych, and I did a work at a battered women's shelters for a number of years. And children are very reluctant to come forward. You know, as much as Gloria Johnson is not one of my favorite people in our assembly, she's one of those the Tennessee Three, and she's kind of a little bit of a thorn in the side of some of these issues. However, in this case, I think, you know, she does have a point, but I honestly don't think that that should be a deterrent for putting more severe consequences in place.
Yeah, we have to take these crimes seriously. And for our audience right now, if you're wondering how you can contribute, you know, Wendy just mentioned that there's a petition that they're putting together. You can head over to freedomforever.us right now to sign that. You'll see that it's right now on your screen. It's easy to get to. Head over to the freedomforever.us right now to sign that petition. We need to start supporting these things because, it's the only way to end these types of heinous crimes. And I think, you know, with our open border policies and all of these children we're bringing in who sadly are becoming, you know, sex trafficked and are going to be telling these stories soon when they become adults about how they were raped in the United States and we did nothing about it. I think we need to now prevent the future of these rapes from happening. I think this is the best way to do so, by letting our government know that we are dead serious about ending all of this. So again, folks, you got to head over to freedomforever.us. That's also where you go to read Wendy's piece in great length. So Wendy, thank you for bringing this to our attention. I really appreciate it. This is something that's near and dear to all of our hearts, and we want to put an end to this. So thank you for everything you're doing.
Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Tell you guys about my friend Allie. Allie is always complaining about her feet hurting because she's always in heels and working on them. And so I gifted her the new My Slippers 2.0. And let me tell you something, guys, it's been a complete game changer for Allie. You see, Allie tells me now it feels like she's walking on clouds because these slippers are so soft and the cushioning on them is perfect. She is so happy with her new My Slippers 2.0 that she's bragging about it to everyone. And well, if you go on MyPillow.com right now, you'll notice that everyone's talking about these slippers. They're incredible. So right now you have to head over to MyPillow.com and secure your slippers right now. Now, if you want to save up to 66% off, you got to do it by using promo code Brianna. That's B-R-E-A-N-N-A. Again, make sure you're using promo code Brianna if you want to secure your 66% off, and get them now before they sell out. Listen, folks, those slippers aren't a joke. Allie's loving them. I gifted them to other friends of mine, and they're loving them too. My parents have them. They love them. So if you want really, really comfortable slippers, you got to head over right now to MyPillow.com and get yourself a pair. And if you guys want, Brianna might be too difficult to spell. We know that. So feel free to use Brie. That's B-R-E. Both of those promo codes get you the best discount possible, up to 66% off. So feel free to use Brie, B-R-E, when checking out. Well, thank you so much for joining us tonight. We'll be back here tomorrow evening. We look forward to seeing you. As we just discussed with journalist Annie Cyrus, the conflict going on right now between Iran and Israel has many people on edge, but the economy is one of the things you should keep your eye on these days because, well, we're expected to see oil prices skyrocket. Now, this is on top of the fact that on Friday alone, oil prices actually hit six-month highs. It's averaging about, I believe, $97 a barrel at this point. Friday, we should refer to $92 a barrel, which is something we haven't seen in over 6 months. And well, if you're also paying attention, everyone's keeping their eye on precious metals. This conflict has many thinking that now is the great opportunity to invest in precious metals. Gold and silver are what they're referring to as the opportunity of a lifetime. It's very, very interesting, but everyone's saying to jump on this right now because this is potentially the best time to buy into gold and silver. And joining me now to discuss all of this is Dr. Kirk Elliott. Dr. Kirk Elliott, thank you for joining us. We appreciate your time as always on this issue, especially we're seeing all these experts coming out and saying that now's a good time to buy gold and silver. What's your thoughts on all of this?
Well, there's so many reasons that are pushing into that statement. The Iran-Israeli conflict is just one of them. So whenever there's times of war, and we've got numerous ones hitting us right now, whether it's Russia, Ukraine, Iran, Israel, you know, Hamas, I mean, you name it, right? So it's just like happening. But what that does in the hearts and minds of people is it causes them to think with uncertainty and a little bit of fear, right? And so whenever things are uncertain about financial future, because wars are expensive and stocks, bonds, mutual funds generally come down during wartime, money is printed to fund it. War is very expensive and that causes inflation. So for that reason, people just tend to kind of pull back and want to go into something that's real. That's the flight for quality that we see during wartime environments where gold and silver tend to thrive. So that's just reason number one, right? And this is kind of a doozy over the weekend. You know, you had the G7 nations meeting. First, you had Biden said, oh, we're going to support Israel. And then it said, no, we're actually not going to support Israel. And then the G7 nation says, we're going to offer our support, but then they really don't do anything. And Russia, you know, condemns the action, but they don't go as far as to say that Iran did the wrong thing. It's like, these are all words that mean absolutely nothing when it's like, you're bad, but we're not going to do anything about it. Right. So this is going to persist. Right. So you've got that going on. Now you've got central banks around the world, Brianna, are allocating into gold by the hundreds or thousands of tons because of what started during a war. So during the Russia-Ukraine conflict, when it first started, what did Biden do? Biden went to Putin and said, hey, number one, we're going to kick you out of the SWIFT system, which is the way that countries or banks get wires, right? You don't get an international wire or domestic wire unless you're part of the SWIFT system. So what he wanted to do was starve out the Russian people. And Putin said, wow, it's not going to happen under my watch, not to my people. So he went to China. And that one action caused not the emergence of the BRICS nations. They were already there for a long time. However, this rock solid economic political union between Russia and China was established and solidified and put on steroids because of Biden's nuclear option economically of cutting Russia off from SWIFT, because they needed to get money. So China already had something like that for the BRICS nations. And so Xi in China said, hey, Putin, just join us. You don't have to worry about SWIFT. We got it all taken care of, which they did. And that created a rock solid union. But then what Biden also did was he froze Russian assets. So all of their gold, I mean, they had a lot of gold. They had like almost $1 trillion worth of gold, right? So what did they do? They froze it. And so now he couldn't get to it. So the rest of the world now, because of the things that happened during wartime, which is usually economic sanctions, is telling the Fed, we want our gold. The gold that you have stored there in America, we want it back. We're going to repatriate it and bring it back to our homeland. Well, Congress got wind of this and sent a FOIA request, Freedom of Information Act request, yes, to the Fed. Well, what did Jerome Powell, chairman of the Fed, say? He said, well, I don't care about this FOIA request. We're not giving you the information. It's like, what? It's like, what happened, Brianna, to the rule of law in America, where subpoenas and congressional requests actually meant something, right? Because he's not complying. But then he said, well, the New York Fed Bank actually has that information, but you know what? They're not going to give it to you either. We're a private bank. It's like, what? So they just get away with just completely avoiding a congressional subpoena. But you have to ask why. Why don't they want to give up that information? Is it really that condemning or that bad? And the answer is yes, right? So since April, the number of tons of gold that's gone to China is 160 tons. The amount of gold that's left America is 134 tons. So there's this balance shift, you know, this pendulum shifting moment where wealth is moving from the West to the East, and the Fed doesn't want the world to know about it, right? So because all these countries are afraid of the weaponization of the U.S. dollar, putting economic sanctions on them. If you misstep once, you know, they're going to freeze your assets. Nobody wants that. So they want their gold back. Now, it's not just in America. The European Union told Russia this morning, actually, they said, hey, you owe Romania almost 91 tons of gold. From going all the way back to like 1916, they said, give it back to Romania. You know what Medvedev said? And I'm not going to say the word because it's a clean show, but he basically said, F off. It's like, what? It's like, so all these countries now are starting to want to freeze people's assets and give them to somebody else. There's also Janet Yellen, chairman of the, you know, Secretary of Treasury here in America, told Russia that, hey, you know, the gold that we basically froze for you, we're going to give it to Ukraine. It's like, they don't own it. It's not theirs to give, but we're not giving it back to them. And now we're going to give it to somebody else. So this is just ticking off Putin, and it's ticking off all the other countries to say, well, we don't want to play this game. We're taking our stuff because they're acting like rogue and they're going to steal all of our assets. So China, this is really interesting. I mean, this is almost like a soap opera playing itself out economically. Yeah. China's been amassing like thousands, tens of thousands of tons of gold. Basically, unsubstantiated amounts are around 30,000 tons because they lie about everything. It's hard to know exactly how much they have. Officially, they have 5,000 tons, which is still a lot. That's tons of gold, right? but unofficially they have about 30,000. Well, because of the amount of short positions that the big banks in America have on silver, JP Morgan Chase, Bank of America, I mean, on last week, they shorted 1.2 billion ounces of silver to try to drive the price down. Well, that's astronomical because the total amount of silver coming out of the ground for mines in a whole year is like 800 million. I mean, now, so they shorted more in one day than the entire annual production of silver globally. So with those short positions, if the price of silver goes up, they lose money hand over fist. So what is China now doing? They're playing this smart game. They're playing this game of chess where we showed up playing, you know, I don't know, Skippo or something. It's like, it's not even the same game, and it's not even close. So they are now buying silver in China rather than gold to drive the price up because that will kill Western banking in America. I mean, they're playing this very smart. So what's happened to silver? Silver has gone up over $6 in the last 2 months, like up over 30%, Brianna, in the last 2 months because of these things that are starting to happen and the increased demand and the ultra low supply. So when you look at all of that, Bank of America has now given projections for this move of gold and where it's going to take it. Remember, gold's sitting around little less than $2,400 an ounce as we record. Bank of America thinks it's going to 3,000, Goldman Sachs 2,700, UBS $4,000 an ounce. Banks always understate their growth on gold because they're banks, right? And so these are probably very conservative numbers. The average is 3,200 between those three. So here's why we go into silver. I mean, that's a massive growth from 2,400 to 3,200 on average, but there's this ratio, Brianna, between gold and silver. How many ounces of silver does it take to buy 1 ounce of gold? Historically, that number is 20 to 1. Mm-hmm. Today, it's about a little over 80 to 1. So let's look at this gold price, and the ratio will always regress towards the mean. We're going to approach 20 to 1. But if gold goes to 3,200, like these big banks say, at 80 to 1, that puts silver at $40 an ounce. At 60 to 1, $53 an ounce. At 40 to 1, $83 an ounce. 30 to 1, 107. We get back to the historical average. Silver at $165 an ounce. This is where we can use this mayhem, the wars and rumors of wars, the chaos, the shorting of silver, this economic warfare that's playing out. And when we identify that, with wisdom and discernment and just act and do something about it, we can literally thrive. And those numbers that we're talking about are one of those, and we've already moved, again, over 30% in the last 2 months. This is incredible in and of itself. But now when these things start to accelerate and manifest themselves, we can truly take advantage of them and let this political chaos work in our favor for once.
Yeah. And I think it's really important too. And you mentioned, well, two things. Number one, FOIA requests. They don't like complying with those these days. I know I've got a couple of lawsuits pending on that. The most transparent administration ever doesn't like transparency, and they encourage their other agencies to not be transparent as well. But you also mentioned too, the seizing of assets and then just being able to decide, you know, this belongs to Russia. But we're just going to give it to Ukraine. I think a lot of American citizens are concerned that's going to happen here in the United States to our personal assets. People like you and me, I mean, they could just decide at any point it's seized. It. And there's very little that you could do to fight back, and even if you take them to the court. So I think it's interesting now to discuss the investing in precious metals, because now's a good time to do so. For our audience right now at home considering doing so, what would be the key points that you would like to drive home on that? And then where can they go to find out more information?
So the key points are, we always want to be in the right place at the right time. At some points, given the right economic conditions, lowering taxes, lowering interest rates, creating jobs, the stock market will do really, really well. But what we've got now is rising taxes, rising interest rates, slow down inflation they're creating. We've got wage reduction and job losses. Like, it's exactly the opposite. That's what causes gold and silver to go up. So But look at what you just said was really important. Americans are getting concerned that the government could take away their assets just like they did with Russia. You know what? They don't need our permission.
Yeah.
They don't even have to act mean about it. We have already given up ownership of our checking and savings accounts and brokerage accounts at wherever to them after 2009. When we had that crisis back then, they changed the laws. It's in every prospectus that you get when you open up a checking or savings account. It's called beneficial ownership. We are no longer the owner of our checking and savings and brokerage accounts. We're beneficiaries of it. We gave ownership to them. So therefore, they don't have to ask permission to use it, to use your assets as collateral to pay off derivatives debt or anything. We've already given that up and most people don't know. So how do you get out of that system? Simply by getting out of the system, go into tangible assets like gold and silver that are not digital, they're not paper. You take delivery of them or you have them stored, right? So to do that, just give us a call. 720-605-3900 and say Brianna sent you, or we set up a website for you that you can actually go to for you. And that is briannagold.com. Is that what it is?
Yes, it is. Yeah. It's very, very easy. Yeah. briannagold.com.
And either one, you'll just fill out a little bit of information. Say you heard Kirk and Brianna talking. You really want to protect your assets. Fill out a couple of questions, and then we will call you to set up a time for us to dig in a little bit deeper, find out what your concerns are, your fears, your goals, your aspirations, and then map out a strategy for success using precious metals to get you out of that horrible system that we just talked about, which is awful. Intrusion, loss of privacy, loss of financial freedom. But in the same side is having a smile on our face, because you're almost sticking it to them, right? You're sticking it to China and to Russia, who are trying to manipulate the system. And once you understand how anybody is manipulating the system, you can act accordingly to protect. And that's what we do.
Yeah, I think that's critical too. And you know, I have a friend who believed in crypto like crazy and is calling me now saying that the government has accused him of crimes that he has not committed. And now the crypto company that he was working with no longer wants to do business with him and has released all of his money and isn't doing business with him anymore. And so it does happen and people need to prepare for it. And I think this is a great option to prepare for the government just overreaching and going after individuals, which, you know, we talk about in the show all the time. It's a weaponized federal government. So really, we assume that everything is at their disposal these days. So again, folks, if you want to learn more and just get some information on all of this and come up with a plan for yourself, all you have to do is head over to briannagold.com. That's briannagold.com. You're going to see that little form where you can fill out your contact information. And like Dr. Kirk just said, he's going to have someone call you from his team. They're going to schedule an appointment. And then they're going to have a phone call with you where they could go over your options, which are really, really important to do, especially during times like this. They're saying it's now the best time to purchase gold and silver and become an investor. And, you know, I am myself right now. So I would highly recommend our audience doing that. So again, folks, if you'd like to go over your options, head over to briannagold.com. Dr. Kirk Elliott, it's always so insightful to speak with you. We love talking to you. We love getting all the dirt on the economy and what the backhand plans are and what they're doing behind our backs. So we appreciate your time as always. Thank you for joining us.
It's my pleasure. We'll talk to you soon.
Talk to you soon. And if you enjoyed that segment, make sure you hit that like button. And if you want to see the news before it becomes the news, you have to subscribe to our channel. And well, if you have a liberal friend that you're looking to save, make sure you share this content with them.